starting in Washington, D.C.
The debate over what went wrong in Afghanistan has begun, with Republicans pointing to the way that President Biden pulled troops from the country. Congressman Andy Biggs says that after analysis, he expects to find that the administration underestimated the Taliban's capabilities. The Arizona Republican tells Fox News that the disorganized withdrawal could have also demoralized Afghan security forces.
Some of the things that I would say that went wrong is an overestimation of the will of the Afghan fighting force, a failure on the part of this administration to understand the reality of what Taliban might do, and the actual, we'll see whether there was some Chinese influence in there. And I know that's odd to say, but China's already said they're going to recognize the Taliban. Yep. Did that weaken the will of the Afghan fighters?
From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Tracking Tropical Storm Fred going inland across the Florida Panhandle. Coastal flood advisory has been in effect due to the high tides and above normal tides. Scattered storms of the day ending tonight. They're coming back to scattered for the afternoon tomorrow, following morning sunshine Tuesday. Overnight skies becoming fair. Morning lows drop 70s to 80. Early sunshine and partly cloudy to cloudy for the afternoon. About 40% for tomorrow, about 60% on Wednesday. Both afternoons highs 90 to low 90s. Ralph Sanji, WGSO. After the tragic death of his wife, Katie, Professor Franklin blames himself. Filled with anguish, he walks away from his family, which augments his suffering. But soon after the second anniversary of his wife's death, his self-imposed reclusive lifestyle is interrupted by an unplanned visit from his 8-year-old granddaughter. Awakened by Grace by author Darlene West. Available now in bookstores and Amazon.com. More info at DarleneWest.com.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
The views and opinions expressed during this show are those of the hosts and guests only. In no way do they represent the views, positions, or opinions expressed or implied of WGSO 990 AM or North Shore Radio, LLC.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
I got something to say.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, everyone, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. Well, it's in the books. We had our first game in the post-Drew Brees era. And Mike, what were your thoughts overall on the game?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I'll give you my thoughts on it. And, you know, there was good and bad from it. And, it was really more of, a poop show as far as turnovers are concerned. And, it was disheartening to see that many turnovers, 6 total turnovers in the game. And, you know, not all of it was on Taysom and Jameis, which was good. Taysom had, I believe, 2 interceptions and Jameis had 1. But the one that Jameis threw, it was more of a bad ball and then, you know, got knocked up in the air and unfortunately led to an interception. But the biggest thing was the fumbles, and those were killers. So, Mike, what was your overall thoughts on the game?
My biggest takeaway is that the defense looked good. I was impressed, especially considering that it's, you know, the first game of preseason. Now, granted, you had David Onyemata out there, who's, you know, he's been there for a while, but as far as he's concerned, he looked like he was fighting for his job. Even considering his upcoming suspension, he looked like he was fighting for his job, and I loved seeing that. And then another thing was Paulson and Debo looked a lot better than what I would have expected. On the offensive side of the ball, I liked old Tony Jones Jr. I'm not going to say he's the next Alvin Kamara just yet,
right,
but he looked a lot better than what I would have expected.
Yeah, you know, it was unfortunate. You know, he had some great runs, but it's unfortunate he had to, you know, he coughed up the ball on one of them. But I don't know how much you heard between switching over to calling in, but you know, the turnovers obviously was alarming. I mean, there's no reason to have that many. Six turnovers. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to beat anybody with 6 turnovers. Doesn't matter who they are.
Exactly.
The Jameis interception. You know, it wasn't necessarily his fault. The ball went up in the air. However, was the ball thrown the way it needed to be? Probably not. Probably not. The thing that did surprise me a little bit was that you didn't see Taysom really take off and run.
And I was thinking about that watching the game. I feel like that's been his go-to is anytime any little thing breaks down, he takes off and runs, and he's trying not to do that. He's trying to get himself out of the habit of that. And last night, he tried too hard to get himself out of that habit. Yeah, you want to be able to make a throw when you can, but at the same time, if you can move the ball with your feet, move the ball with your feet. He needs to find the happy medium between the two.
Yeah, I would agree. And I also believe that, and granted, a lot of this is because, you know, we've been spoiled. We've been spoiled for the last, 16 years. But they both Jameis and Taysom, they held onto the ball way too long. And fortunate for them that we have a good offensive line, even without Tron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. But they're going to have to get the ball out. That's part of what we've talked about for the last few weeks is seeing how quickly they can go through their progressions is really going to be key to and see how good of decisions that they make at the same time is going to be the key to who wins the quarterback challenge between the two of them. That's a little worrisome.
Uh-huh.
The turnover is a little bit worrisome. There was bright spots and there was some areas of opportunity, as they like to say in the business world. It did look nice that there wasn't an issue getting the ball down the field. Kamara wasn't playing. However, when he is playing, you throw him into the mix and they're going to be looking all right as far as that goes. Jameis had a couple of good throws. That his touchdown to little Jordan Humphrey, I thought that was a good read and a well-thrown ball. But it's just, you know, to me, it's a lot of the consistency part of it. And that's where they gotta step up, and they gotta do it all the time. I mean, you're gonna make mistakes, sure.
My main takeaway as far as quarterback is concerned is it'll be Jameis, because Jameis and Hill were basically the same, and so we're gonna need Hill out in the field as opposed to quarterback. Yeah.
But we can talk more about it whenever we get back from break. So we'll talk just a little bit more about it after we come back. So let's take a break. We'll come back with more of the Something to Say radio show right after this.
You can provide the life-changing opportunity of a quality education to a disadvantaged Louisiana student at almost no cost. For those inclined to make a difference and fortify our community, it's a no-brainer. 95% of every donation to ACE Scholarships directly funds a deserving child scholarship, and you receive a 95% tax credit through the Louisiana Tuition Donation Credit. To learn more, call Arthur Dupre at 504-710-1132.
Big Easy Pet Shop and Rescue is a nonprofit volunteer-run rescue. We provide adoption services and care for homeless animals across the New Orleans metro area. We also offer pet supplies and grooming services at our downtown and Marigny locations. The shops are located at 839 Spain Street and 513 Dumaine Street and are open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. weekdays and noon to 6 on Saturdays, noon to 5 on Sundays. We can be found on the web at BigEasyPetShop.com. Support local animals in need by shopping and adopting with Big Easy Animal Rescue.
Join Bougainvillea Productions and Soul Project NOLA every Friday on Facebook for Fridays from the Funky Uncle. Fridays from the Funky Uncle is a webcast featuring New Orleans funk musicians playing live music combined with interviews and outreach news to raise money for the entertainment community of New Orleans who are impacted by COVID-19. You can also contribute during the show through the use of our virtual tip bucket. So be with us every Friday at 7 p.m. on Facebook to have a funky time and support our music community from the one-of-a-kind Mardi Gras float, the Funky Uncle Lounge. For more info, follow us on social media at Fridays from the Funky Uncle.
Never Enough Tattoo at 7405 West Judge Perez Drive in Araby, right outside of New Orleans. With over 40 years of experience with artists and piercers from Las Vegas, California, and Florida, come to the best. Specializing in custom tattoos, professional body piercing, and real permanent cosmetics. Never Enough Tattoo. Give us a call at 805-423-6362. Make your appointment today. Walk-ins are always welcome.
As a realtor, I have used and recommended mortgage loan officer Scott Forte of Forte's team at Eustis Mortgage to many of my clients. Forte's team at Eustis Mortgage is top notch. Based out of New Orleans since 1956, Eustis Mortgage brings 65 years of experience. The Forte team is available to help you with your mortgage lending needs 7 days a week. Make sure to contact the Forte team at Eustis Mortgage for your next home loan purchase or refi. Apply at closings or my Forte.com.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. We were talking about the Saints' first preseason game on Saturday versus the Ravens, which they ended up losing 17-14. But, you know, and like you were talking about earlier, Mike, the defense looked really good. I think the main thing is we can't put them in a position where they have to overcome 6 turnovers every game. And granted, you know, let's preface this whole thing. This was a preseason game and the first preseason game at that. So there is going to be a level of sloppiness. It's expected that there's going to be silly penalties, turnovers, but you really don't want to have to see turnovers. And when you do have turnovers, they shouldn't be from your starting players. Your frontline guys shouldn't be the ones making the mistakes. The mistakes should be reserved for the guys that are trying to make the team, not the two guys that are battling to be the starting quarterback of the franchise. You know, like I said, the defense looks strong. You were talking about David Onyemata. Marcus Davenport also looked really good. Now, granted, keep that in mind, too, is that the Ravens were only starting – I think they only had either two or three of their normal offensive linemen starting the game. So it is to be expected that, you know, two players of the caliber of those, of Onyemata and Davenport, should be able to dominate a second or third string team. However, like I said, you know, there's just some silly things that need to be cleaned up.
Yeah. And after the game, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, wow, six turnovers. I mean, this is a preseason game. But at the same time, I couldn't get rid of the nagging feeling that that everybody was saying after last year's college football season. Yeah, LSU lost all these players, and it's, you know, it's COVID. But at the same time, every other team they played went through all of the COVID issues and didn't have a fall camp and all of this. And that I just could not shake the feeling that, well, Baltimore didn't have that many turnovers. You know, and I'm not saying that to be all doom and gloom.
Right.
I'm saying it to get to your point of it's a preseason game, so you expect that kind of stuff, but it needs to be worked on very fast.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, you have to control your controllables. Putting the ball on the ground and throwing interceptions. I mean, interceptions are going to happen, but putting the ball on the ground is really unacceptable. And some of those interceptions, the one that Taysom overthrew Ty Montgomery, that was
all right. I just jumped.
Know what that was. Did you hear that, Mike?
Yeah, I heard something, and then everything went blank for a few seconds, and I don't know what that
was. All right. Well, I'm hoping that we're still on the air. But okay.
Let's just pretend that we are.
those things are the things that are worrisome, but Blake Gillikin, I thought he was a high spot as well. And you know, I think he averaged like 57 yards maybe on his punts.
Yeah,
so
roughly 57. I think his long was 61, if I'm not mistaken. It's I read it this morning, so I could be wrong on that, but
yeah. So yeah, there's some things to look forward to, and they'll be playing again next Monday night against the Jaguars inside the dome. So, you know, that'll be I look for Jameis to probably start that one, and
I agree.
You know, hopefully things get cleaned up. You know, the Jaguars are a team that, even if they were playing their first string the whole time, I think that's a team you should be able to handle business with.
We'll have Myers turned them around yet?
And I don't think so. Not in a couple of weeks. And from what I saw over the weekend, I saw a little bit of Trevor Lawrence's debut, and you know, it looks like he has some chemistry with Marvin Jones Jr., but we'll talk more about that after a while. The second preseason AP poll that came out this week or came out today?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it is. I feel like I've seen something about the AP poll a few weeks ago, but I've seen so many polls, most of them being you know, Joe Blow that writes for blahblah.com, so it's a little hard to remember. But yeah, it's I'm pretty sure this is the second AP poll.
Well, and the first one wasn't, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't LSU, weren't they 18th?
To be honest, I don't remember. The main thing that sticks in my mind is the fact that this whole time I was expecting them to be 13th. And they're 16th in here, which, I mean, 16th is fair. I was giving them 13th because there's been so much hype around the fact that they've got, I want to say it's 20 of 21 starters coming back, and they've got this new, they have all these new coaches, and you know, all the reports coming out are about how they have such a great team chemistry, and they have the team has such great chemistry with the coaches. But at the same time, you got to look at last year, and you've got to look at the fact that even though they have great chemistry with the coaches, it's all almost all new coaches. And so I can see 16. And to be honest, on top of that, I thought they would be at 13. Well, Florida is at 13. I was thinking really, I was thinking 13 or 14. Well, 13 is Florida, 14 is Miami. I can see those. I can see them being in those positions as well. And then at 15, you have USC, University of Southern California. And you could put them at 15, LSU at 16, or swap them. I feel like USC at 15 or 16 would be a fair assessment. Now, the thing that I'm actually really excited about is that this is the first time in AP poll history that UL Lafayette is ranked in preseason poll. They're number 23, which is absolutely amazing because 10, 15 years ago, most people in the country had never heard of the Cajuns. And now, not only UL, not only UL, but also
which you can hear right here every week on WGSO also.
Exactly. Not only is UL ranked at 23, but Coastal Carolina, their UL's main adversary in the Sun Belt Conference, is ranked at number 22. That's the first time that any team from the Sun Belt Conference has ever been ranked in the preseason. And it just so happens you have two teams ranked preseason. And that's amazing. As any longtime listener knows, I grew up partly in Lafayette. And so while I don't have the same love for UL as I do LSU, they're still one of my favorite teams. And so it's amazing to see them ranked in the preseason. And this is the official AP poll, official AP preseason poll. And so that ranking's not going away until the season starts. And, you know, they would have to screw up, obviously. But this number 23, this is it. This is the official preseason poll. And I love that.
Yeah, that's exciting. And I noticed this, you know, I noticed that too. I didn't realize it was the first time that anybody from the Sun Belt Conference had been ranked, but I definitely noticed Coastal Carolina being on the top 25, and I don't believe I've ever seen that. So
nobody has.
But it's exciting to have two teams from Louisiana that in the top 25. It's all good. And like I said, we'll be broadcasting all of the Raging Cajun games this year. I think they either play on Saturday or they on Thursdays, I believe, most of the time. So all of those games will be right here on WGSO. So, yeah, it's exciting. And, we got the first weekend. September 4th is the first LSU game, correct?
Yes, it is. Playing UCLA. Don't know what time it is now that I think about it, but I think it's in the evening. I think it's 6:30.
It's a 6 o'clock.
There you go.
All right. So there you go. Let's take a break and get some news. We'll come back and we'll talk about what else went on around the NFL in preseason week one. And then who knows what else we have for you. So stay right here. You're listening to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM.
Hi, Bruce Falkenstein with Gulf Coast Bank. We're hosting auctions in August to raise money for nonprofits throughout the month of August. Auctions in August offers items such as fine dining, jewelry, sports memorabilia, gift baskets, artwork, vacation stays, pet services, and much more. There's something for everyone with hundreds of items to choose from. To see all the great items and to bid, go to auctionsinaugust.com. 100% of the proceeds go to the nonprofits. Gulf Coast Bank. The bank that cares about you and your community. Member FDIC.
This is David Duplantier, Dean of Christ Church Cathedral on St. Charles Avenue in New Orleans, the diocesan cathedral for the Episcopal Diocese of Louisiana, inviting you to join us weekly for our live broadcast on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. We also invite you to learn more about the cathedral at our website, ccc.nola.org.
Hi, this is Effie Chason with Revolution Realty. I know that buying a home, whether it's your first or fifth time, can be a bit stressful. Let my experience and knowledge make home buying or selling a joyful and memorable experience for years to come. Revolution Realty, now with three locations to serve you. Uptown, Downtown, and Metairie. Go to RealtyRevolutionNola.com or contact us at 504-309-7224. Come on and join the movement.
Hi, this is Clay with Liberty or Lockdown. I'm moving to a new show and a new hour. Join me for What's Your Passion Live to talk about promoting your passion or your business. What's Your Passion is a live show that promotes businesses and podcasts around the city. So join me every Thursday from 12 to 1. Or you can go to www.wypagency.com to get your business or podcast promoted. See you there.
Louisiana Radio Network, I'm Matt Doyle. Things got feisty this morning at the state capitol as a meeting of the House Health and Welfare Committee temporarily devolved into a fracas when people in attendance were asked to put on a mask.
Hey, y'all, everybody, take your mask off. They can't take all of us off. Take it off right now. They cannot take us off. Medical person. Come on. It's okay, cowards. Why did they come here?
After things settled down a bit, lawmakers got to question State Health Officer Dr. Joe Kanner. Kanner was asked about CDC recommendations that those with compromised immune systems should get a booster shot. Kanner agreed.
And this is a small segment of the population, I mean, 3-5% max. Mm-hmm. But if you are one of those people, you likely did not mount as good an immune response to your first two doses because your immune system is not as effective. And so you need another dose.
The meeting came as the state reported another rise in COVID-related hospitalizations, now just shy of 3,000 LRN.
Staying connected is important in today's world, whether it's hearing the news of a new baby in the family or calling work to let your boss know you're running late. Phone and internet service keep you connected with your world. At AT&T, we know that some Americans face life every day without the comfort and security of having a phone or internet service. In certain areas, you may be able to reduce your phone or internet bill with a Lifeline discount if you are in a qualifying low-income household. Additional discounts of up to $25 may be available to those living on federally recognized tribal lands where AT&T offers Lifeline. To find out more about Lifeline and other AT&T products and services, call us at 800-288-2020 or go to att.com/lifeline if you have access to the internet.
Lifeline is a government benefit program, and willfully making false statements to obtain this benefit is punishable by fine or imprisonment and could result in termination of Lifeline service. Lifeline enrollment requires certain eligibility documentation and is non-transferable. Limited to one discount per household. AT&T services, including Lifeline, are not available in all areas. Other restrictions apply.
Did the winter weather leave your windows looking gloomy? Let the summer sun glisten on your freshly washed windows. Call Window Genie, where we have a streak-free guarantee at 504-264-5811 on the South Shore and 985-826-4200 for the North Shore office.
I'm Jean McCleskey.
And I'm Steve Espinosa. We are your local Window Genie owners.
Window Genie, where we do windows and a whole lot more.
We are having a party. It's WGSO's 75th anniversary party, and we're looking for all of you to come celebrate with us. If you're a local business, take advantage of this opportunity to be a sponsor for our big 75th anniversary party. We have great sponsorship packages offering tremendous benefits for our partners. If you're interested, contact me, Jeff Cruer, at jeff@wgso.com or 504-669-6076.
Enjoy your next happy hour with Roz and the Rocks. Fridays at 1 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM.
At Hyundai of Metairie, there's never been a time when your car has been more valuable than right now. And Hyundai of Metairie will pay up to 130% of Kelley Blue Book value. Buy a car from us, or we'll buy one from you at Hyundai of Metairie. There's a reason why we're Louisiana's number one new Hyundai and certified pre-owned volume dealer. Be sure to visit our facility at 5969 Veterans Boulevard to see all we have to offer. Or call 504-838-9000. Visit us online at HyundaiofMetairie.com.
Hello, this is David Jeremiah. Join me each weekday morning at 5:30 or 6:30 for Turning Point here on Talk Radio 990 AM.
Hi, I'm William Wallace. You can hear me live on Tuesday nights at 5 o'clock here on WGSO, or see what I have to say on Facebook at William Wallace for America.
All right, welcome back to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM, streaming live on WGSO.com, where you can go find out all the information about our not-for-profit status. You can also go back, listen to all of our archive shows. It's all there. You can go check it out. One-stop shopping. So the rest of the NFL preseason was, a lot of people dog the preseason games because, oh, well, most of the starters aren't playing and those type of things. But I'll be one of the few to say, and I know, Mike, you're with me there, too, is that, number one, we just enjoy watching football.
Yeah.
And I would take a preseason game, watching a preseason game, over watching, like, the Canadian Football League any day of the week. but it's also, it's an opportunity. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think I found out yesterday. I'm assuming it was CFL. Apparently, if they kick a field goal or an extra point and they miss it, the other team has to kick the ball back out of the end zone. And if the kicking team kicks it back into the end zone, they just have to keep going back and forth like that. That was, I don't know what I was watching. I guess it was CFL, but that was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
Well, that is weird. And I'll be honest with you, I think I've only maybe seen a handful of CFL games in my life. One of them, I remember I watched the one where Jimmy and he was in the CFL. I think it's like one of his, because there was no offensive line for him. But the nice things that go along with the preseason is, like I was going to say, was that you have a lot of guys that are fighting for their careers, and you know, yeah, they're giving everything they have to be able to make, you know, enough money that really, in most cases, sets you up for life. So to me, I find that to be really interesting also. And again, we've talked about it in the past, going to training camp, it gives you a different perspective of the players that, you know, that are trying to make the team, and you get to see a little bit more of when you're sitting out there at training camp, and you pull for them, you know, you want to see them succeed and be successful. There's a lot of spotlight on the rookies and quarterbacks that you know, were drafted in the spring. And I think probably the one that came along with the most hype this weekend was Justin Fields, who had played at Ohio State and is, wink, wink, the backup to Andy Dalton in Chicago. At least that's what they keep saying, but I don't know how that's going to happen. The article that I was reading today, it said that Justin Fields is already the second best quarterback in the division in the NFC North, and that would be behind Aaron Rodgers. So I don't really know if how much I believe that he's the true number two behind Andy Dalton in Chicago, which, you know, it's unfortunate for Andy Dalton because he left the Bengals, and last year was the backup in Dallas, but then after Dak Prescott got hurt, you know, he was then the number one guy, and then he got COVID, if I'm not mistaken, and then I think he hurt his back in the first game back from COVID, and then hit the free agent market again and signed with the Bears, and they, you know, this is our guy, this is our number one guy, which, I mean, there, right there is alone enough to make you wonder what's going on, because no offense to Andy Dalton, but, you know, franchise quarterback, I wouldn't label him this point in his career.
Yeah, he's been in the NFL long enough that if he was going to be a franchise quarterback, he would be a franchise quarterback. And now, granted, maybe he just hadn't found the right system, but I don't know. He looks like probably the best backup in the league, I'd say.
Well, yeah, and he was with the Bengals for for a long time, and they went to the playoffs. I don't think they ever won a playoff game, because that was back when Marvin Lewis was their head coach, and he took them to the playoffs pretty frequently, because they were, yeah. You know, they had him, they had Dalton, and they had AJ Green, and you know, they were able to put some points up on the board, but nothing, you know, they still never really had much of a defense. And I don't know, I just find that funny that they sign him, telling him he's going to be the franchise guy, the number one, and then they trade their first round draft picks from this year and next year to move up to get Justin Fields. So yeah, it may be one of those situations. You know, it's one of those things. I feel like it may be an Alex Smith type situation in Kansas City, where when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, like, okay, yeah, you're the guy, but you're only the guy until, you know, however many games it takes for the real face of the franchise to step up.
Yeah,
which, you know, I don't have much against the Bears as a team. I think we all know the really awful things that some of the fans did whenever in the NFC Championship to the Saints fans that were in attendance in 2006. But as far as team, I don't have anything against them, but I will say that if they have finally found their quarterback, bless their hearts, because it only took, what, 30 something years.
Yeah, really.
Let's see. What else was going on this weekend? You had, I don't know, did you get to see any highlights of the Broncos?
No, I didn't. I've read good things, but I didn't get to see anything.
Yeah, they looked sharp. And I'm trying to remember who they were playing, but I think they were up like 33-9 at one point. But they had no problems whatsoever getting the ball down the field. Drew Locke looked really good. Oh, they were playing the Vikings. 33-6 was the final. Teddy B, he was 7 for 8 for 74 yards and a touchdown, and Drew Locke was 5 for 7 with 151 yards and 2 touchdowns. So they were definitely getting the ball down the field, and you know, they have a hell of a wide receiver core too, to the point where I don't see how they can keep them all, and which could be something that the Saints need to look at.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and here's some other breaking news that goes along with water is wet and the sky is blue. Gardner Minshew lost the quarterback competition to Trevor Lawrence.
No.
I know, you can't believe that, can you?
Coming. No.
All right.
This is mind-blowing. Wait, give me a second. I need to catch my breath.
Right. Yeah, so I didn't realize there was ever a question of who was going to be the starter this year whenever they drafted Trevor Lawrence number one, but apparently there was. So who knows what Gardner Minshew is going to be up to, but you know, at this point, I don't know who would trade for him. I don't know if he's good enough to, I mean, I hate to say it that way, but you know, who's going to give up draft picks or whatever just because you need Gardner Minshew, who really hasn't shown a whole lot. I think he's probably best off just to stay put and be the backup to Trevor Lawrence.
Or he can learn how to do weird extra point kicks and go to the CFL. So
there you go. Yeah, why not? I did see what I saw of Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he had some... Seemed like he had some chemistry with Marvin Jones Jr., but the one thing I believe that Trevor Lawrence is going to have to figure out is the game's a lot faster at the NFL level. And also, yeah, just like we talked about the Saints, you got to get rid of the ball.
Yeah, well, and
you know,
part of the deal is that, I mean, yeah, he's an amazing quarterback. I'm not taking anything away from him, but Clemson plays in the ACC. I mean, Clemson's amazing, but the rest of the teams are subpar to a little better than decent. And so on a regular, in the playoff games, he was facing step talent. He was playing Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, Georgia, et cetera. But that was it. He's not used to day in, day out, having to be on your P's and Q's at all points in time. And those are the things he's going to have to learn, as far as I'm concerned. Now, once he learns them, he'll be just as good as what you expect. But he does have a little bit of a learning curve. So.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the other one I wanted to touch on was Trey Lance and him being the quote-unquote backup to Garoppolo. I don't think that's going to last very long either. But they've already got a dumb nickname for him because he threw a 50, 60 yard touchdown pass, and the commentator he yelled Trey Area, like the Bay Area. So I guess that's what they're trying to give him a nickname as, Trey Area. That's kind of silly. All right, well, let's take a break and we'll come back with more of the show. You're listening to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO.
Brought to you by the Saint Rock Market, a local food hall featuring 12 unique food and beverage entrepreneurs serving globally inspired meals from barbecue platters to Mediterranean cuisine. Located at 2381 St. Claude Avenue, the Saint Rock Market is open every day of the week for breakfast, lunch, dinner, coffee, and cocktails. We offer online ordering, curbside pickup, and both indoor and patio dining. Learn more at saintrockmarket.com.
Hi, Bruce Falkenstein with Gulf Coast Bank. We're hosting auctions in August to raise money for nonprofits throughout the month of August. Auctions in August offers items such as fine dining, jewelry, sports memorabilia, gift baskets, artwork, vacation stays, pet services, and much more. There's something for everyone with hundreds of items to choose from. To see all the great items and to bid, go to auctionsinaugust.com. 100% of the proceeds go to the nonprofits. Gulf Coast Bank, the bank that cares about you and your community. Member FDIC.
The Terrence Louisiana Jones Gumbo Hour is here once again every Saturday at WGSO 990 AM from 1 to 2 p.m.
Thomas Paine once said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." It's time we all become the Thomas Paines of our generation. Join me, Bill Juno, on my new show, Let Freedom Ring, Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. on WGSO 990 AM.
The wait is over. Morning Call is back. Come visit us at our beautiful new location at the corner of Canal Boulevard and City Park Avenue. Enjoy our spacious outdoor patio, or come on in and savor the unique ambiance. Delight your taste buds with our hand-rolled sourdough beignets, our delicious French drip, dark roast coffee and chicory, or sample one of our other local offerings. For over 151 years, Morning Call has been patronized by tourists and notables the world over.
WGSO, across the Gulf South, a great new way. WGSO.
Celebrating 75 years, we are the community voice of the Crescent City. WGSO 990 AM.
Join me, Tracy Napolitano, and my co-host, Barbara Hirsch Napolitano, as we talk about everything bourbon on It's Always Better with Bourbon on WGSO 990 AM, Friday from 5 to 6.
More and more Americans are listening on American ground. Listen each Saturday from noon to 1 p.m. with Louis R. Avalone and Stephen Parr.
I don't know. Well, you probably haven't got the opportunity yet, Mike, to see it yet. But Brendan and I watched the Suicide Squad movie last weekend, and it was pretty good. Pretty good action film. And then I was looking at Rolling Stone today, and they had the top 50 action movies of all time. So, what would be, before we get into their list, what would be your number one action movie of all time?
the number one that comes to mind, I wouldn't necessarily say this is the best action movie ever made, but the one that comes to mind because it's my favorite would probably be The Matrix.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that one, especially for, you know, when it came out, like the effects that that they had was just really, it was mind blowing at the time, really.
Yeah. Part of it for me is that I found out later that the idea that we're living in a simulation is actually, at least in the, in the theoretical, the theoretical thought process, I guess, whatever I'm trying to say, that's actually considered to be a valid
theory
discussion, a valid theory. Like, there's a lot of people that are well known, very well respected physicists and cosmologists and things like that, that believe that that could possibly be the case. And so when I first saw that, actually, when I was living in New Orleans this last time, I saw that and I was like, Are you serious? Y'all think we're living in the Matrix? Since I started looking into it, and I hadn't read anybody saying that robots took over and they're harvesting our brain power or whatever it is, but there is a valid idea that some higher power, I don't want to use that phrase because it makes it sound like God, but somebody had so much computing power that they were able to basically create The Sims, the video game from the 90s and 2000s, but it's so realistic that we think that this is real life because of that, because they have that much computing power. And that's always intrigued me. I don't believe it, but it's fun. It's kind of like aliens. I love aliens. I don't really believe aliens are here visiting the planet, but it's a fun idea,
Right. Well, it's if there is a Matrix type situation going on, they should hit the reset button because
this have gone sideways.
Yeah, things are not going well. I would recommend the reset. Maybe get a Game Genie or something. I don't know. Whatever it takes to get this
Control
fixed. Yeah, I think I really dated myself with the Game Genie reference.
Yes,
but
yes, you did.
I don't know. It's a tough one for me to say, like, what's the best action movie. I mean, it's hard to dispute Die Hard and Die Hard 2, the second one. I'm not really, that one wasn't that great, but the third Die Hard with Samuel L. Jackson was really good. And so it's tough for me to say something other than either Die Hard 1 or 3. But then, Anthony chiming in with Terminator 2. That was
great one.
Yeah, it's tough. But I will say this list from Rolling Stone, I would not agree with the top 15.
Yeah.
Especially what they picked one, but we'll a few minutes. So number 15, and you can go to rollingstone.com, see the whole 50, the 50 list, but there's not enough time and that's boring to begin with. So at number 15, the 1967 film The Dirty Dozen. It's been so long since I've seen that. Yeah, it was good.
I remember liking it.
Yeah, I remember seeing it with my dad. And at number 14, I highly disagree with this. I think this film should be way higher on the list.
Much, much higher.
I would say in the top three for me personally, but probably number one, if not Die Hard, it would be this movie, The Dark Knight from 2008. Even though it's a superhero film, I think it's probably, for me personally, I think it's a superhero movie that came out. And then at 13, I've never even heard of this movie. It came out in 1985, Police Story. Have you ever seen that, Mike? I've never even heard of that.
Didn't know it was a movie.
Number 12, The Bourne Identity. I don't know. I mean, it was good. I don't know if I'd put it up there that high at number 12.
I really enjoyed it because I read a few of the books, and so it was fun to see it in movie form, and it was there was a crap ton of action in it. But I wouldn't. I don't know if I'd put it in the top 12.
Yeah. Number 11, Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean, it's an iconic movie and probably deserves to be pretty high up there. I would say that that's pretty legit. Number 10, 1986, Aliens. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty a pretty big movie too. And number 9 is Black Panther from 2018. And I thought it was good. Don't get me wrong. Number 1, I don't believe it's better than The Dark Knight. And 2, I think that's a really high placement for that movie. I don't know if it's better than Raiders of the Lost Ark or Aliens. You know, maybe I don't even know if it's better than The Bourne Identity. It may be, but I don't know. All right. So then number 8, I've never seen this movie. It came out in 1954 called Seven Samurai. Never heard of it.
Neither.
Number 7. Hard Boiled. Never had. And we would have probably, I mean, at that time, like, I was going to the video store all the time in 1992. And I think I would have seen this and at least probably gave it a shot because I didn't have anything else to do as 12 or 13 years old. And I have no idea what that movie is.
I will say, though, it is a John Woo movie, so it's gotta be good. So
Number 6, the movie that you said, The Matrix, that came out in 1999. Probably could be a couple spots higher, I think. Then you have Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon at number 5. And I'm ashamed to say I've never seen it.
I've never seen the entire thing. I've seen enough bits and pieces while flipping through the channels to know the storyline, but I've never seen the entire thing from beginning to end.
Then you have number 4, another movie I've never heard of, The Raid Redemption. That came out in 2011. Never heard of it. So I highly doubt it's better than this should be ranked number 4 if you've never heard of it. Then you have John Wick at number 3. Yeah, John Wick was great. I could see it being that movie. being pretty high on the list. Then you have number 2, Die Hard, which again, it could be number 1 in my book.
Yeah.
But the thing that I've seen the number 1 movie and I did not find it to be the best action movie. I wouldn't even put it in the top 20. But according to Rolling Stone, the number 1 action movie of all time, Mad Max Fury Road from 2015. I don't see it. I mean, Charlize Theron's in it and that's nice. Tom Hardy. But I don't even know if I would have put it in the top 50. So I don't know. I don't know what Rolling Stone knows that we don't, but I can't see it. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us, Mike. We need to get out of here. And we'll be back tomorrow with more of the Something to Say radio show. And until then, let's just play Gloria.